Yeah?
Yeah.
Your family ready to join the church tonight?
Yeah.
We're excited about that. Yep. Yeah, come on. All right, let's have a prayer. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for the right children, and I pray your blessing upon them, that you would just lift up their hearts and their eyes. We thank you for their singing. We thank you that they're here with us, a part of this church, and we just ask your blessing upon them today and this evening and the rest of their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Miss Valerie is waiting for you somewhere. There she is. Head on down there. Here, don't forget your glasses. Hey, Daniel, can you mute the projector for me? Thank you. Is that better? That would mess me up. Yeah. All right, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We are continuing along and following Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, specifically his introduction, the Beatitudes. And as we've gone through these, we have seen that first, they are for believers, right? It's the ones who Jesus is talking about who's experienced God's work in their lives. Their eyes have been opened to see that they are spiritually bankrupt, and with new hearts they mourn their sin, and they know what they deserve, and they know what they've been given, and it changes their character, and they are meek, and they hunger and thirst for righteousness. They've been declared righteous in God's eyes, and they want to be righteous, and they want to grow in righteousness. In the first way, as we see those stages of the Beatitudes building on one another, the first example that Jesus gives of that righteousness that we are hungering and thirsting after is to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And we know this one, and we love this one, right? Yet this can be a hard one for us, and that's why Jesus talks about mercy. He talks about forgiveness very often. So we're going to examine that today. What is mercy? Who are the merciful? How are they merciful? And we'll look into some confusion that sometimes comes with what Jesus has said about this. But mostly we're going to marvel. We're going to marvel at how and why a perfect and holy God would choose to have mercy and show mercy on those who sin against him, who've made themselves his enemy. And we're going to see how that mercy and that marveling will last all eternity. This is critical to our faith, mercy. So let's look at verse 7 of Matthew 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So first, what is mercy? We see it all over the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God," right? But God, that's what you did. But God, being what? Rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Mercy. God's mercy. Lamentations 3, 19 to 23. Praying to God, remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Titus 3, 4 to 6. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Mercy. It's huge. It is huge in the Christian life. It defines our life and our relationship with God. So it's important that it's an important topic in the Bible, and it's important that we understand it correctly, biblically. So let's talk about something that we always talk about, the difference between grace and mercy. So grace is God's favor, his unearned, undeserved favor that he shows to you. It's upon you. We don't deserve his favor, and we didn't earn his favor. That is grace. When we talk about saved by grace, we're saved by not earning it, not anything we did. Wasn't us wising up and coming to look for God. It was all God, all his doing, all pouring his grace, his unearned favor out upon us. Mercy, in a way, is kind of the opposite of that. Mercy is when that grace of God shows itself by not giving us what we deserve. So grace, we don't earn it. We get what we don't deserve, but mercy, we don't get what we do deserve. The difference. Okay? We deserve punishment. We get God's favor. That is God's mercy. Grace and mercy go hand in hand. Okay? We don't earn mercy. It's by grace that we get mercy. And it's by God's mercy that we get grace. So they go hand in hand together. Mercy shows itself first and foremost through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have all sinned against God, just like I read in Ephesians 2. We've all sinned against God. We've all earned his wrath, his punishment, from the very smallest of us to the oldest of us, right? We've all sinned against him. And so we're all in that same boat together. So God sends his son to take the punishment on the cross for us and for us to be declared righteous. We talked about this great exchange of righteousness last week. Jesus was perfectly righteous, yet God considered or counted him as a sinner on the cross. And you are God's enemy and sinful, yet God, because of your faith in Jesus, because of what God has done, considers or counts you as righteous. This great exchange of righteousness. But that is the gospel. And that is mercy. Right? That's God looking out upon us, seeing that we are sinners, seeing that we are in a helpless state, and having mercy upon us. Not giving us what we deserve. And he does that by grace. But his mercies are new every single morning that we just read. Why is that important that his mercies are new every morning? Because we sin every night and every day. We're sinners. We're being made more righteous, but we're not perfect yet. Right? One day we will be when we're with him face to face. But until then, we need those mercies every morning. We need his forgiveness, and his mercies hunt us down. They track us down. He just doesn't have a little mercy. He is rich in mercy, and he is lavishing that out upon us. Rich in mercy to not give us what we deserve. But there's more to mercy than that. We can make it just sound like that, and it sounds kind of transactional. that God is just kind of not giving us what we deserve all because of Jesus, but there's some affection involved in there. Mercy involves God's compassion and God's pity upon the state that we are in. So when it comes to sin, it's a pity that we've put ourselves in that sinful situation where we deserve his wrath and we can't get ourselves out of it. And that's where the gospel comes in. But there's more beyond saving mercies. There are mercies because we live in a fallen world. There are healing mercies. There are comforting mercies. There are loving mercies. There are provision mercies, traveling mercies. All sorts of mercies, right? We're sinners. We live in a fallen world. We deserve not God's grace, but he gives mercies. He looks down upon us. He has pity. He has compassion upon us. That's mercy. It's an affection. It's God's compassion that defines our relationship with him. So grace means that we are blessed when we don't deserve it, but mercy means that we are blessed when we deserve punishment of evil from this fallen world. But they're always working together. Always God's grace and always God's mercy working together. It is God's heart of pity and compassion towards us in this fallen state we are living in. But it is by grace and not by works. Jesus says in Luke 6:36, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So there's an example, and he expects us to then be merciful as well. But we can get this mixed up. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. Verses 21 to 35. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. It says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Now, Jesus isn't giving Peter an actual number for Peter to keep count. I hope we all know that. He's making the point that it's a lot more than you expect, right? Every time. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, right? Much, much less. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Now we see that, and we read Matthew 5:7, and part of us may seem to think that God's mercy is conditional. We don't get mercy unless we first show mercy. And you can kind of see how some might think that, right? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's sort of an argument for a works-based faith, isn't it? Sort of a legalism that puts God in this quid pro quo, I knew I should have put it in there, quid pro quo situation. If I do this, God, then you will owe me this. That's what your word says, right? Or from his perspective, I'll save you if you do this. If you're showing mercy, then I'll show mercy to you. But we have to let the Bible interpret the Bible. Okay, we can't take passages out of that, out of context or even in context and say this is what it means when the rest of the Bible says something differently. That's opposite of how God speaks about mercy, and we saw that in all the passages that I read. And think about this, if we weren't able to receive God's mercy unless we were first merciful, meaning full of mercy, then none of us would be saved. Nobody would be going to heaven, right? Or you'd be thinking pretty highly of yourself, right? That's just not how we are as human beings. It's not in our nature to show mercy unconditionally. We're conditional with it, unfortunately, right? If at all. Right? A lot of times we're just merciless. Merciless. So, we need to think about that. Second, if we treat mercy like that, as if that is what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 5 or later in Matthew 18, then we better reconsider what grace means. What does God's undeserved favor, unearned favor mean? What a new birth means and the importance of that. What Jesus dying on the cross for sinners means. Because if there's a hint in something of something in us, like mercy, that makes our salvation conditional, makes it so that we have to do something for God to save us, then that's not grace. That's not grace. That is us earning a little bit of it. That's why this idea, some of you may have heard the term prevenient grace, this idea that God, you know, gives us a little bit, every human being, enough to choose him or not choose him, and then it's that human being, whether they do it or not. That's not only is that not found anywhere in the Bible, but it's completely unbiblical in what the rest of the Bible teaches, because it's God who does all the work. It's God who does all the saving. We cannot boast because God does all of it. And that's the way we want it to be, right? We want it to be all God. We want him to get all the glory. We don't want to put these things on our sinful shoulders. So we read the Bible and we understand it. It is by grace. And it's all by God's grace. The fact is, the truth of the matter is, the merciful are the ones who've been shown mercy. They understand it. They get it. Studies have shown anywhere from 60 to 85% of drug and alcohol treatment program counselors were former users and abusers of substances themselves. 85%. Why is that? Right? Why is it that 35% of homeless shelter workers were formerly homeless at some point? It's because those who receive mercy show mercy. Those who truly receive mercy, those who get the mercy, they understand what they deserve. They understand what God has done, the gutter that he's pulled them out of, the mercy that he's shown them. When they get it, they show it. That's what Jesus means here. That's what he means in all that passage. So when he says in that Matthew 18, He says, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? The answer is yes, you should have. That's what happens when you get it, when you understand God's mercy. You show mercy. I'm not talking about just, you know, the experience or the head knowledge of knowing what mercy is. I'm talking about a true experience of receiving, living, being consumed by God's mercy to the root of your soul, where it changes who you are. Mercy is what can change a vindictive person, a merciless person, to a merciful person. You deal with people differently because of how God dealt with you. You know what it was like to be starving, so you have compassion on the starving. You know what it's like to fail, so you have compassion and pity on failures. You know what the gutter's like because you've lived there. You know what it feels like when you are a sinner who deserves God's wrath, yet he looks on you with pity and has mercy. He has it in him, and he shows mercy. And it changes you, right? You stop looking at others and how they measure up as what you think a Christian should be, or measure up to you, or even measure up to Jesus, right? When you see someone sin, it's not a how could they do that, it's a pity and a compassion upon them. You have compassion on them in their sin, that it has such an enslaving grip on them, and you have mercy. So you show mercy. You look for ways to be merciful, as your Father in heaven is merciful. So you let go of grudges. No one is too far gone. No one is too bad, too sinful. No one is a lost cause. You rebuild bridges. And we're going to see that next week, maybe. Yes? Nope. A few weeks from now, as the peacemakers, right? You rebuild bridges. You refuse to think that you are better than others because you haven't done the things that they did, knowing that it was only God's grace that kept you from doing the things they did, right? God's grace, the right amount of pressure in life, the right situation, knowing that you're a sinner too, right? But God showed mercy on you. Do you get what I'm saying? He showed mercy on me, so I have mercy on others. Who am I to think of someone else as less than? We look at that parable that Jesus taught. We think we've sinned against God, not just 10,000 talents, but trillions of dollars. And the things that other people do to us are worth a couple cents, right? In comparison to what God has forgiven us, what we're holding against others. That's what Jesus means, right? We don't want to run out of mercy for others by the end of the day, because our Father in heaven doesn't run out of mercies for us. His abundant mercy is brand new for you every single morning. So think about that when you sin, and the mercy that he's shown upon you, and how he would have you to have that kind of heart first. First, you have mercy, and then you show mercy. That can point people, that's more of a gospel message than a lot of times the things that we're saying with our words. The mercy that we're showing. And it messes with people who don't believe. Right? How could you forgive something like this? Like, what I did to you. This is what Jesus means. You are full of mercy. You have received mercy. It happened. You are receiving mercy. And when you stand before him, and when you meet him face to face, you shall receive mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You will be blessed. You will be happy. Why is God so happy? Because he's full of mercy. Doesn't feel good to be merciless, does it? To be exacting revenge out on people. It doesn't feel good to be harsh, to be an eye for an eye kind of person. You're not really happy. And even if you get that vengeance, it doesn't make you happy. No, the happy ones are the ones who are full of mercy. They can let it go because they know what God has let go in their life. They know what they deserve. They know what they've been given. They know that they have no right to withhold what God has poured out upon them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That's a great verse. It's a great verse to apply in our lives. It's an easy one to memorize. It's a great verse for preparing to take the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to ask the men to come forward to distribute, to prepare to distribute. And I want you to think in your life. Really take the time as we're distributing communion to think about God's mercy shown to you. Ponder on that. Ponder the things that you've done and what you deserve and how he gives mercy. Think of what secured that mercy. Who secured that mercy? The body of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ as the atonement for your sins. And if you think of ways that you have been merciless, ask God for forgiveness right now. Ask him to show you specifically ways that you can be full of mercy, that you can show mercy. Ask him to give you a heart of mercy so that you have mercy. And always remember the mercy that has been shown to you. Carry it on you. Carry it on you. Don't let that escape from you. Then live in his mercy. It's what defines your life. If there is any word that defines our existence on earth in relationship to God, next to love, it's mercy. Value mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy.